I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Battle Red Radio. I'm Matt Weston. I'm joined by the Byron Leftwich, my Bruce Arians, my good pal Taylor. How are you doing tonight, man?
Not doing good at all. Okay? Not at all.
Not one bit?
Yeah, because you call me Bruce Arians and Tampa Bay Buccaneers are terrible, so.
They're beautiful.
No, man. You're a coward. That's
they're
all
7-7. I think they're 2-5 in one-score games.
You know what? I just don't want to talk to you about this. We're just going to, you know what? I'm fine today. I got back from my cruise, so I'm in the real world. Yeah, I'm bragging a little bit because also I got to watch the games on the big screen on the deck.
Oh.
How cool is
that?
Did
you have motion sickness?
No, not at all, surprisingly.
Did you feel more like you were there?
Yeah.
Watching the game on a boat?
No, I felt like it was crazy because you think you're in like some type of theater, and then you look to your left and there's ocean. So pretty crazy stuff. Almost like I was on a boat.
Don't say it. This is a family podcast.
I'm not. Okay.
Don't say the B word.
What are you talking about? I'm not going to say the B word.
Making sure.
You're going to say the B word.
No, I'm not going to say the B word.
What is the B word?
I'm a family man.
What's the B word?
Biscuit.
Hey, Matt, for the record, what shirt are you wearing right now?
I'm wearing a Josh Allen shirt.
Okay, just wanted to make sure here.
Look, we got another big game this weekend.
No, you don't. What do you mean we?
We got a big game this weekend.
Who's we?
Me and the Buffalo Bills.
You and the Buffalo Bills have a big game this weekend.
Yeah.
You got a field pass for him?
Yeah.
We doing a Buffalo Bills podcast from now on?
I'm on press row.
I'm going to have to go back to the tape here, or I want somebody to just send you a tweet and let me know how many times have we talked about the Buffalo Bills on the podcast?
Probably 7.
7.
I've watched every Bills game this year.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
No, they're just a lot of fun to watch.
I don't think they're a lot of fun to watch.
They're even so much more fun to watch now that Devin Singletary is their starting running back.
Oh, great.
So, first off, I'm going to say shouts out to my big boys out there.
What?
Chris Lindstrom came back after breaking his foot in training camp. If you don't know who Chris Lindstrom is, he's the starting right guard of the Atlanta Falcons. He was their first round pick. Their starting right tackle is Caleb McGarry.
All right.
They trade up, back up in the draft to draft him.
What is it?
And McGarry's been there all year, and he was phenomenal last week in San Francisco. Both of them were, like, even against Joey Bosa, there was no pressure at all. I guess it's Nick Bosa. Joey Bosa plays for the Chargers. So even Nick Bosa struggled with pressure. Buckner struggled with pressure. They were great all game, and it's been great to see Caleb McGarry, like, sit there at right tackle. Start the whole year after all these other guys were saying, not necessarily all these other guys, but all these other players people were saying are better than McGarry, like Dalton Risner or, you know, players like that all had moved to guard because they couldn't handle the right tackle position. So it's been good to see McGarry stick there, and Lindstrom looked really good last week. And so I'm glad the Falcons, you know, offensive line finally came together. It just took, you know, like 14 weeks for that to happen, but good for Atlanta.
Yeah, hey, isn't it good, like you said, that Jimmy G had those games
against
New Orleans and against Arizona?
Yeah, it was important.
And how I said that Arizona is not that impressive and how New Orleans always does that against quarterbacks.
Yeah, I didn't say it was impressive. I said it was
important.
Oh, I'm
sorry. I thought I let you talk.
Impressive and important are two different
words. What are we doing? I thought I was talking.
Because you're not saying the truth.
Okay.
Impressive and important are two different words.
I thought I was talking.
So, two different words.
Can I finish?
I'm just making sure we have that portion.
Well, I just want to make sure you understand. Jimmy can't do it. It's the entire point that I've been making all season, no matter
what. He did it.
Did what?
Against New Orleans.
Against New Orleans, where they always do this. It's where the defense really shows up.
Some teams have bad games, though.
It's almost like Drew tells the defense, saying, hey, you know what? I want this to be a shootout. I need to boost my stats.
You think that's how it's working?
I think that's how it works. Because you know this. They always give up a game. Let me put you this way. Did they do this with Teddy?
They were playing great all the time on defense.
Exactly my point. It's because they knew that they couldn't take a night off. While Breeze, They take nights off in some cases, just like they always do with Tampa Bay and teams against with Fitzmagic. But either way, come on. This is what shows you. Jimmy G can't do it. He's not that guy.
He did it. I thought it was important. And that was important.
He got the penalty at the end?
I mean, look.
And he threw it to the best tight end in the league?
Yeah, I think Kittle had 12 catches.
Yeah.
That was kind of the weird thing about it, too. Like, they didn't really take any shots downfield.
Because he can't?
Well, I mean, he can a little bit.
A little bit?
I was just confused, kind of perplexed why they didn't do that more often. And they didn't even do it at all. Like, everything was just a Kittle. And the Falcons had bad quarterbacks. And the other thing, too, that was strange was how good the Falcons' pass rush was. Like, they were really getting to him. And the Falcons have a terrible pass rush. It's been battle season. And the one thing I saw was, like, Vic Beasley was actually running a lot of inside moves to create pressure instead of just running all the way around the quarterback like he typically does.
Now, granted, this could also have been kind of like a night off with them, too.
Yeah, sometimes you have bad games.
It could have been, and I'll give you that. It's just you're still not – he needs to be building something up to show he's not good enough to be able to take a game off. He hasn't shown anybody anything for him to be able to take a game off, especially with this 49ers team, because during the season, you're expecting this to be a dominant team going into the playoffs, and we're slipping.
I mean, I think that their biggest problem on offense is that they don't create any big plays in their passing game. All their big plays come from their run game.
It's weird. I wonder if they can't.
Or if it does, it comes from like a screen pass or whatever.
Huh,
and their passing game is just used to create like, you know, first downs. It's kind of like it kind of works opposite, you know.
It's almost like their quarterback's not good enough.
Maybe so. We'll find out.
Huh.
We'll find out. Yes.
You know what? He showed up in 3 games. So that's good enough, right?
I mean, like, he made like 3 throws in all the other games, and he's had 3 really good games. And everything else, he's been like, he's managed things. He's done enough.
Overrated.
I don't even think there's any overratedness conversation here.
What are you talking about? You were so big on him after the New Orleans game.
I never say he's really good.
You came in here with a smile on your face.
Yeah, because you said he can't do it all whatsoever.
Yeah.
And he did it against New Orleans.
And
that's the difference. That's why I was smiling
about
it.
You know what? Continue on, please. Keep going.
I never said he was really good. I never said he was great at all or anything. I just said you were wrong about the Arizona thing.
I'm not wrong about the Arizona thing. You're wrong because you're thinking Arizona's a good team.
They're the best bad team. They're the king of the
rats.
They're
not good anymore.
They're the best bad team.
They were at the beginning of the season. Now they're just bad.
Arizona's the best bad team.
I think they're just bad.
They beat Cleveland. Cleveland's a bad team. They went 4-0 against bad teams this year.
Oh, my Lord.
They're the best bad team.
Cleveland, Jarvis Landry going after Kitchens on the sideline.
Awesome.
We are done.
I
Cleveland,
love
you have won the season. Odell, rumors he's already talking to teams, saying, get me out of here. This team is great because what the hell, man? It just shows you it was a team full of kids. Nobody wanted to be the mature adult in the room. You didn't have somebody. You didn't have a veteran. You didn't have anybody.
I mean, they have veterans, but they just have a head coach who doesn't. Who shouldn't be a head coach.
Who's their veteran guy that you'd be counting on?
I guess like Schobert. Or Beckham, or...
Beckham. You're counting on Beckham to be a mature guy in the locker room.
I'm not saying be mature, but be the veteran. He's 27. He's played 5 or 6 years. That is the difference between being mature and being a veteran.
All I know is that...
Jarvis has been around forever. Not forever, but
every single player on this team has
too.
Talked. Every single one has talked.
The only one who was great this year is Myles Garrett.
No, Chubb.
Yeah, those
Chubb has been great.
Yeah.
Chubb is the one
Garrett
that hasn't been talking.
Garrett was spectacular, too. He had 13.5 sacks until the helmet thing.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Yeah.
Because he was also, I think, leading the league in penalties.
Who?
Garrett, when it comes to...
it doesn't matter.
Late hits on the quarterback.
That's fine. It doesn't matter.
I mean, kind of just adds, it adds to the resume.
I mean, they're a poorly coached team was the point.
Oh, yeah.
They're bad because they're poorly coached. And the Cardinals beat them. They're 4-0 against bad teams. They're the king of the rats. They're the best bad team out there. So good for Arizona. It was a great season for them.
So they're like Master Splinter.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's fine. I could see Murray being Master Splinter. Well, he's too mobile. Now, Murray's the guy from Small Soldiers, the little dog creature. So, you know Dion Waiters Island, right?
His name is Archer.
Yeah, but he's like a...
Do you like that? How did I know? You like
that? Yeah, but like his origin's like good... It starts with like... It's like G-U apostrophe A-X-T-H or whatever. But yeah, I think it is Archer.
Yeah.
But you know Waiters Island, that basketball term? Where there's like a lot of people on the NBA internet said like, yeah, I think Dion Waiters is going to be good. And they call it being on Waiters Island. So I have 2 NFL versions of it.
Okay.
I'm the captain of Jameis Winston's boathouse.
What?
And I also am the gatekeeper of Josh Allen's farmhouse.
Okay. So the Josh Allen thing seems racist. And the Jameis Winston thing just seems ridiculous because are you there in the boathouse?
No, I just
are
drive
you like
the boathouse.
Are you the pool boy cleaning the deck?
No, I just drive the boathouse.
So you drive his boathouse.
Yeah. Whenever he wants the boathouse to go somewhere else in the bay, he's like, hey, I need a...
He snaps his fingers and you show up with the boathouse ready to go.
Well, I'm ready to drive the boathouse.
This is a very weird fantasy.
I mean, it's not fantasy.
What
it's
is
a metaphor.
This thing? What is it a metaphor for?
It's a better
for?
Thing than saying I'm on the bandwagon or I'm driving the bandwagon.
You're not a... Oh, my God.
It's
okay.
a better way
what
to
are
say
we,
it.
What are we bragging about?
I'm not bragging about anything.
Bragging
about,
I'm not bragging
about anything about whatsoever. I'm saying it's a better way to say than, yeah, I'm on... Oh, I was on this bandwagon. It's a boring and stupid way to say something because everybody says the same things all the time about everything.
You'd rather... You know what? Just say that you're on their lap and they're Santa
no,
Claus. That's what
that.
You can say then.
That's what you can say
that's
about
what you,
something.
That,
no.
I'm not going to say that. You're the one who's making the boathouse comparisons.
Yeah, because it's like the Waiter's Island comparison, but NFL version of it.
I'm not taking this comparison.
Okay, it's good.
I don't know.
It's good. Yeah, and then, yeah, that's all I got. that's what I have. Thanks for bringing something. And so for the playoff
welcome.
Picture for the NFC, the first round would be New Orleans, Minnesota, 3-6 seeds. The 4-5 seeds would be Dallas, San Francisco. The 1-2 seeds would be Seattle, Green Bay. And the AFC would be Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Houston, Buffalo, which is, I hate it so much. And then Baltimore, New England be the 1-2 seeds. And so, like, we're all set up for Houston, Buffalo round one. And,
what is wrong with you? You're like so. You even took off your jacket to show me more of your Buffalo Bills.
It got warm.
T-shirt.
It's warm in the house.
Okay. What is the matter with you? You should be excited. That is going to be a hell of a game.
I want them to play Pittsburgh.
Why do you want them to play Pittsburgh, Matt?
Because they can beat Pittsburgh easily.
So you're saying that no matter what, when they play against Buffalo, you're choosing Buffalo?
No, I'm not choosing Buffalo.
You're not going to choose Buffalo?
I'm going to enjoy the game.
Who are you going to choose?
I'm choosing Houston.
You're going to choose Houston?
Yeah, I'm going to choose Houston.
What do you think a score would be for that game?
Like... 2016 Houston.
2016 Houston.
Buffalo.
Buffalo. I don't know what that means.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard on the heart, but
this shouldn't be that
well,
hard.
Well, also it's been great for me though. It's like watching the Texans play. I really enjoyed the Titans this year cuz they throw the ball any down. They run a lot of play action. They throw the ball downfield. They throw to run. They do all these things I've been wanting Houston to do, but they're doing it, and they've had a real great resurgence with Tannehill in the offense. Then we get Houston-Tampa, which is spectacular and beautiful. But it is kind of a bummer that Mike Evans is hurt and Chris Godwin are hurt, and also it's supposed to be a monsoon and may flood in Tampa tomorrow too. And then after that, we get Josh Allen the first round. In the second round, they probably play Baltimore. So it's like I get to watch Houston play my 4 or 5 other favorite teams. So it's fun. It's good.
So I don't think you're going to be picking Houston against what team are do you think that they would be able to beat in the playoffs, Matt? Houston,
Pittsburgh,
or is Pittsburgh going to make playoffs?
Maybe unless Tannehill can catch them. So the Steelers play the Jets. This
what
weekend.
What are the records here? Because I know it's Steelers are 8-6. Is that what Tennessee is?
Yeah.
Okay. So what does Tennessee need to happen, and who are Steelers remaining to?
The Steelers play the Jets. And then they play the Ravens with nothing to play for.
That's
and
true.
And then the Titans play the Saints. And they play Houston, who will probably have something to play for.
I knew the Tennessee. Damn.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Yeah. So that's what we got.
Ryan the Cannon's not going to do it. I was expecting them to beat Houston, but damn, that was a hell of a game, so I didn't even care.
It was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'm saying. Why? That was a fun game.
It was
not
a lot of fun.
Buffalo versus Pittsburgh.
Who said it was fun?
I don't know. You're acting it like with a smile on your face every 5 seconds whenever
I
you say
glad,
Josh Allen.
I was just glad he only turned the ball over once because Cole Beasley dropped a pass. Like, that's all he had to do that game was not turn the ball
he
over.
He had like 126
that's
yards.
That's fine. All he had to do is not turn the ball over.
He had 126 more yards
than me. It's fine. He had three less turnovers than Hodges. That's all mattered that game. That's really all that mattered.
Yeah, four interceptions.
Yeah, that's all that mattered. Tre'Davious White's so good, too.
Poor Hodge.
Nah, he's in a good spot. Good for him.
He's not in that good of a
spot.
He's
better than Mason Rudolph. I'm glad we don't have to watch Mason Rudolph anymore.
Well, that's true, too.
He should go play lacrosse or something.
He doesn't look
like
a football player.
He should go work for
his
dad at Bear Stearns.
He looks
he's
like,
so whiny.
He looks like the guy from like he's the Big Short. The guy who works in the bank. That's just a straight up douchebag.
He's a goober. Yeah. He's those like big, like I bet he used to be a fat kid. He has big rosy cheeks.
That's mean.
Yeah. So we have your question for tonight.
Okay.
One of two.
Okay.
Which of the two Bakers makes the most delicious turnovers?
Oh.
And there's only two Bakers in the NFL. We have Buddha Baker in Arizona and Baker Mayfield.
Isn't Buddha, is he the cakes guy?
No, he's a safety for the Arizona Cardinals.
No, no. Does he make the cakes? I thought there were...
No, that was Brian Arakpone. He retired to make cupcakes.
Oh, see, I thought, dang. Well, in that case, I'm going to go with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, he's third in interceptions thrown.
Yeah.
He's second. He passed Phillip Rivers. He's second.
He passed Phillip?
Winston has 24.
And he's your MVP.
No, he's in when the, we'll get to it.
Look at this. You can't even see.
So for, he's not my Lamar's.
I hate
the,
you
no,
so
Russell
much.
Wilson's the MVP. Lamar is the offensive player of the
How
year.
How do you have any friends?
Look at these two things right here. So tomorrow we have a Saturday triple header. Houston, Tampa Bay at 12, Buffalo, New England at 3, Los Angeles Rams at San Francisco at 7. Beautiful.
There we go.
Great day.
It's nice.
And then on Sunday, New Orleans, Tennessee. Cincinnati, Miami. That's for the number
one
pick.
We're not doing that.
I'm going to watch that game. It's for the number one pick. And then we also have Pittsburgh, the Jets. I think the Jets could pull it off. And then at 3 o'clock, we have Dallas, Philadelphia, of course. Sunday nights, Kansas City, Chicago. Monday nights, Green Bay, Minnesota. And lastly for picks, I went 1-3, you went 0-4. Because I picked Buffalo, you picked Pittsburgh.
Hot fire.
Yeah.
Hot fire on this one.
Well, we had the same
by
picks,
the way,
but that
by
was
the way,
one thing that was different.
How the... F, am I? Is Dallas Cowboys not the late game?
They didn't. Well, they
Kansas
fought,
City
no,
versus
fought,
Chicago.
Fox blocked them from switching it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they said you're not taking this.
Oh, because it's division and yeah. It'll easily be the most watched game of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's kind of.
I wish they made New Orleans Tennessee the night game, but
yeah, you could switch that even. But man, Kansas City Chicago. What the hell is Chicago playing for?
Bragging rights.
Bragging rights. That's good.
And so I'm 28-27. You're 27-27.
Dude.
It's fun.
Wait, 28-27. I'm missing a game.
Yeah, I'm one game up on you.
Well, how? How do you have more games predicted than me?
I'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll figure it out later.
Either way, we both agree. You're up one.
Yeah, yeah.
You're up one.
Yeah. I'm up one. So the first game we're going to talk about is Houston at Tampa Bay. The Texans are 3-point favorites. Now, that seems low, I guess. And the problem here for Tampa Bay is that, well, the good thing for Tampa Bay is Houston's a really bad pass defense. They're 26th in pass defense DVOA. They're okay against the deep pass, but they're bad against the short pass. But Tampa Bay is without Chris Godwin, who's on IR, Scotty Miller, one of your favorite players.
I love Scotty Miller.
He's like, they're like, there's a slot receiver who doesn't get the ball very much.
Yeah, I've never heard him play.
And then Mike Evans, of course, hurt his hamstring and made everybody in fantasy football very mad. But
I think just you.
No, a lot of people. I really hurt a lot.
Yeah, I don't think you can name me two.
So even though that's going on in Tampa, they got O.J. Howard, who's been better lately.
Oh, really? Has he caught more than 3 passes?
Yeah, he has. He's been better lately.
A game?
Cameron Brate. Dare. Olawale, who's like their fullback running back. He's a pretty good pass catcher.
What did you call me?
Dare Olawale. Justin Watson and Breshad Perriman. So we had a question from @StrosFan, you know, and he asked, who's the player that's going to make... I don't know.
Oh, my God. I can't even get the question right? What does it say?
He asked him along the lines of, which player is going to become famous playing Houston this weekend? And the answer, I think, has to be Justin Watson. Because he's like 6'3", he's tall, he's from Pennsylvania, he's going to jump over people maybe. He's like, I don't know, imagine if you have like one drop of blood in like the ocean. He's like that version of Mike Evans, like he's as watered down as you can possibly be, version of it. Where he's like, he's tall and he jumps high and he can play a little bit of sand volleyball. What? But it's nowhere near the same level of player.
Blood drop in the ocean.
I'm just trying to make a metaphor for being very watered down.
Why don't you just say that he's just like a bottle of Ozarka?
No, because that's already water. You're not. Okay. You have to pour it on something to water it down.
What if I just got done playing outside? I'm so hot and sweaty. I need a bottle of Ozarka.
No, it's nothing.
It's watered down.
No, it's like, I don't know. Like I have like this 13% craft beer, and then I don't know.
By the way, so since this whole weather thing, you told me my entire view of this game has changed. Jameson, them aren't going to do anything. If this is it, going to be that bad of a monsoon?
It's supposed to. It could flood.
Well, really? Then who's going to be able to break out? Is Barber? Barber is going to break out
Ronald
against
Jones is the one who runs. Barber's not good. It's all about Jones.
By the way, I don't think either one of them.
Jones is okay.
I don't think Jones is that good.
I'm not saying he's good. He's okay. He's better than Barber though.
Yeah, I don't think I don't.
Barber's bad. Well, thing about this game though is Tampa Bay's 30th in rushing attempts.
Exactly my point.
And the Buccaneers have the best run defense in football this year. So, yeah, Houston, go ahead and run it. And the Bucs are like, we're not going to run anymore. They tried to run the first 2 weeks of the season. It didn't work out at all.
But I'm going to pick my breakout as that only because what else? If it's a monsoon, they're going to have to just keep running with them all day long. If it's not a monsoon, then Jameis is going to just be chunking the ball.
He doesn't care.
I don't know why you're saying this with a smile on your face. This doesn't mean that he's good.
He had a broken thumb, right? He had a broken thumb. He doesn't care. He's still throwing the ball
downfield. You know that him throwing in monsoon weather and turning the ball over doesn't mean he's good.
He's the funnest quarterback in the league.
Tannehill is more fun than him.
Jameis is more fun. Because Jameis has the highest highs and
that's
the
a good pull
lows.
Right there.
He has the highest highs and lowest lows. So you know what the Jameis Winston Triple Crown is? He's leading the league in touchdowns, interceptions, and sacks. He's three behind Lamar Jackson for touchdowns. He's like six up on Baker Mayfield for interceptions. Last week against the Browns, Kyler Murray was sacked zero times. Kyle Allen got benched for Will Greer. And so he's three behind Murray in sacks taken, two behind Allen. So he's going to pass Allen up, and he's three behind Murray. And the Cardinals are playing the other NFC West team. They're playing Seattle this weekend. So maybe he can get by without another sack, but that's what we're rooting for also this game. Because
I'm not rooting for
Winston
that.
Winston has these enormous highs and these really low lows, and it's hilarious. Like against Indianapolis, he threw two interceptions to linebacker on slant routes. He threw an interception like his third pass against the Lions on a slap route where the linebacker's just sitting right in front of the ball. It was hilarious and beautiful. But yeah, I mean, he's the funnest quarterback in the league. But also, you know, all this talk about Jameis being bad. So he's 25 years old.
Oh, God.
He's thrown 4,573 yards, just leading the NFL. He's thrown 30 touchdowns to 24 interceptions. He's averaging 8.3 yards an attempt. Peyton Manning, age 25. Are you ready for it?
No, don't do this.
4,200 yards less than Jameis, 27 touchdowns to 19 interceptions. No, that's just 26 at 25. 4,131 yards, 26 touchdowns to 23 interceptions, yards an attempt of 7.6. He became a Pro Bowler the following year. So, you know, he's young. He needs a little bit more time. At least he throws the ball downfield, and if he can ever throw, 12 interceptions in a season, he'd be spectacular.
Matt, that's never going to happen, though.
It could.
That would never be able to happen. You're wanting him to cut the interceptions in half.
He's thrown 11.
Actually, you're wanting him to cut it in two-thirds.
No, I'm saying half. He's thrown 24 this year.
He still has a couple more games left.
His interception totals over his career, 15, 18, 11, 14, 24. The year he threw 11 was in 13 games.
So you're saying the greatest season ever that's comparable to Peyton Manning is going to be able to have the leader in interceptions? Was Peyton Manning leader of interceptions that season? And by the way, what are they ranked on passing offense? Are they number one as far as attempts? Per game?
Yeah, they are. He's throwing the most passes.
So what's what was Peyton Manning during that point?
His pass attempts.
Was he ranked in number one as well? Or was he just in the top mid?
No, he threw 547, so he was around the top.
I think I need a better stat than that because I'm going to say he's around the mid, which brings me to my point here.
all he's doing is just throwing the ball and chunking it over and over.
No.
Yes, he is.
No, like, but also, like, a lot of these interceptions are weird, too, where he's getting sacked and he just throws the ball in the air.
Yeah, because he doesn't care.
No, but it's like it's like a bad screen pass, for example, or it goes off his receiver's hands and gets intercepted, of course. Like, he's had bad luck. I think I'm going to go back and watch every interception in the year and write about it.
That sounds like a terrible
idea.
It's
going to be a lot of fun. It sounds like depressing. Like, and the point is, too, it's going to be like, yeah, a lot of these interceptions, though, really aren't his fault. And
what is this, the ultimate excuse for Jameis Winston?
He's a lot of fun. And this, like, Tampa Bay thing's worked out even better than I thought it was going to this year. And they have to franchise tag him. And it's going to be exciting to have another year of this next year. Because the problem with the Bucs is that they don't have any cornerbacks. Like, they don't even, like, covering somebody's optional. There's not a team that allows more free wide receivers than Tampa Bay. And again, against Houston this week, it's like, yeah, they blitz a lot. Houston has problems picking up the blitz, and Tennessee didn't blitz against them at all. So Tampa Bay could create a pass rush. If Houston tries to establish the run, they're going to fail miserably. But as long as they throw the ball downfield like four times and not throw an interception off of it, Will Fuller and Hopkins are going to get open downfield. Kenny Stills is going to get open downfield. And so, like, hopefully this game becomes like a 35-31 shootout, because it very well could be.
You sound like me defending Aquaman, how you talk about Jameis Winston. It's like me trying to convince people that Aquaman is a really good movie, and everybody's just looking at me saying, I haven't seen that, I don't want to watch that crap. And I'm just trying to convince him that it's a really good movie, but nobody gives a damn. And guess what? It made over $1 billion. It had all the numbers, Matt. But still nobody gave a damn because they just didn't believe it was that good. That's where I'm at with Jameis. Okay. All the numbers, everything, it doesn't matter. It just, he's not good. And it's because he's just end up losing and nobody cares.
They're 7-7.
Are they going to make the playoffs, though?
No, they're not going to make the playoffs.
So then what are we doing?
The NFC's tough.
And now you have another season and another year of you just, what, franchise tagging him?
Yeah, I mean, they have to.
So, like, you're just stuck with this Jameis cycle.
No, they're not, like, stuck is, like, where you have, like, are they considering being stuck at quarterback as Los Angeles, where they're paying Goff $36 million next year, and they don't have any first-round picks? That's being stuck, where you have a guy who's, like, the 24th best quarterback, rather than somebody who's been, you know, the 14th best quarterback.
We are going to bet pink slips, meaning vehicles, like Fast and Furious style. And this is, if you do not pick Tampa Bay to make a wild card or make the playoffs next year, you are giving me your pink slip to your vehicle. Because you are this confident where you're saying they're good. So that means that next year when they're healthy.
It's not a health thing. It's a schedule thing this year.
Okay.
Let's see what their schedule is next year. Let's see what their schedule is. Let's see what they do this offseason.
Okay.
Also, they've lost four games by one score this year.
Oh, yeah. So you would be confident in them to win the playoffs next year.
I don't know what they're going to do this offseason.
All I'm saying is make it.
I don't know.
There's a coward.
Lot of time to say.
Dude, if you back off on this again.
It's a lot of time to say. A lot of time to think.
You're going
to
back off again.
No, I mean, like, this year's gone very well for them. You picked them in three games. They're a lot better than three games.
Well, you know what? They were better than your pick, too.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
This is.
But you know what? I wasn't building them up either.
No, so they're going to be a lot of fun.
I didn't back off my pick either. I stayed next to it.
They've been a lot of fun.
Unlike some people I know.
You're going to have
backing off.
You're going to have a lot of fun watching.
Oh, I'm on the bandwagon. I'm driving the boat, and then I'm going to jump off the boat so nobody knows I'm really on the boat. You know what? That's not what you did. You know what you did? You drove by a other boat and you ducked.
No.
So that nobody would see you inside of that boat. And now you want to show your face because now they're 500.
None of this is what happened at all whatsoever. I said they were going to be fun this year.
You have your metaphors. I have my metaphors.
That's not what happened. I said they were going to be fun. They were a lot of fun. I said they're going to miss the playoffs because the schedule's tough. They missed the playoff and the schedule's tough. But they're better than I thought they were going to be as a team. I didn't think they were going to have the best run defense in football, and Sue and Vea and David and Wyatt were going to be unbelievable.
Better pick them next year.
I don't know. We'll see what the schedule's like. So the last thing I want to say here about the Bucs, again, their second blitz rate, Houston has problems picking up the blitz. The one problem I think for Houston, if they can actually throw the ball in the rain, is Jacob Martin's out, and Martin have a good game running around their slower offensive tackles that Tampa Bay has. So I don't know. It sucks if it rains a lot. Because
I'm disappointed.
Every time either team runs the ball, that's an affront to God.
Oh, God.
They should not. Neither team should run the ball once.
I actually agree. If it turns into a running game, it's going to be so ugly.
I'm going to be so. It's just like sweat.
That's why Barber's my breakout, man.
I would actually love it, though, if it's like a monsoon and Tampa Bay just keeps throwing the ball over and over again. James, so yeah, I'll do it. I hope they're wearing like their orange jerseys.
And if he
throws
three interceptions and or six interceptions, three touchdowns, you'll be like, look at Jameis go.
That's a great game.
Look, what?
Well, actually, I mean, the best game he's ever had, though, or the most Jameis game he ever had was last week against, not last week, but the week against Indy. He threw four touchdowns, including a game-winning touchdown with like 30 seconds left. Three interceptions. One was a pick six, which is important. I think he was sacked twice, and he threw for 457 yards. And it was the most Jameis game of all time.
Who would you rather draft, Jameis or Josh Allen?
What do you mean?
I want you to pick a quarterback right now on your team. Who do you want?
I mean, Jameis. He's more fun.
Take off your shirt.
Yeah.
You that, like, cheating SOB.
Like, Jameis is the most fun quarterback to watch, but Allen's my favorite.
Oh.
Depends on what we're trying to do here.
You're a cheater.
It depends on my defense, too.
Ooh.
So what's your pick for this game?
So for this game...
And Houston's 3-point favorites.
Well, that's... Okay, before we go on, and I'm sorry, I'm going to bring this up. For you, because this is what I have a hard time with your team, I want to pick your team, but they're coming off of a big win. Is this the game that they kind of just slip up and they just don't give a damn about, like the Denver Bronco game? I want your opinion. Is that what you think or no? Before I say my pick, I just want a yes or no.
I mean, here's the thing.
Okay.
So for an A, I've all I wanted.
Because I've always gotten this wrong.
The last like 7 years is an AFC South championship.
You want them to lose.
For that to happen, Houston has to lose to Tampa.
Oh.
Then Tennessee has to beat New Orleans. Then we get week 17 in Houston. And that's the only thing I really want. And like that's all I care about.
So you're just being selfish.
Yeah, I'm being entirely selfish.
All right, I'm picking your team then. Even though I don't like the monsoon weather. I'm still going to pick Houston. 23, Tampa, 20. And that's only because of monsoon. Otherwise, I'd pick higher score. If it's good weather, you can double the score for me.
If it's orange juice weather?
And 46-40.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
That's what I would say.
This game, I mean, this game should have been unbelievable. And like Houston's had kind of like a weird string of injury luck where, or not injury luck, but like schedule luck where it's like, yeah, they just play all these really great offenses. And then Antonio Brown never played for Oakland. Atlanta's offense is bad against them. The Chargers' offense is bad. The Patriots' offense is bad. Patrick Mahomes' ankle's all twisted up. And then they get Tampa Bay, and there's no Evans or Godwin. It's like, hey, watch out. Watch out now. Here comes Justin Watson. So I have Houston winning 31-27.
Still high scoring?
Yeah, I think it's still going to be kind of high scoring. I think Winston's still going to throw the ball in the rain. I think Arians doesn't care. They're going to throw the ball downfield still.
I just don't think it's going to work, though.
That's fine.
I mean, well, I agree that they could be throwing. I just don't think it's going
to
work.
Too, like, they don't have to really throw the ball downfield against Houston. They can throw a bunch of short crossing routes and have success because that's the worst part of Houston's defense is defending the short pass.
I hope it's clear sunny day because otherwise I am picking 46-40.
That'd be a lot. I hope it's clear and sunny also in Florida.
Yeah, I'd say 46-40.
Yeah. So the next game we have here, Buffalo at New England. The Patriots are 6.5-point favorites at home.
What the hell?
Yeah.
We're betting right now. Do you have a guy?
Make a phone call
right now. Do you have your website?
I don't have a website.
Dude, we're betting $1,000.
Bro, chill.
We're betting $1,000.
So last time these two teams played, New England won 16-10. Josh Allen got hurt by an illegal, dirty, disastrous, terrible, awful, wretched, despicable hit. And Matt Barkley came in. And Josh Allen had him exactly where he wanted him to. So Barkley comes in for the game-winning drive. He gets hit as he's throwing, throws a big duck interception. The Patriots win. And that was a game, too, where Buffalo had a red zone interception of Brady. I think they threw a red zone interception of their own, too. And it was a very close, like, back-and-forth affair at home in Buffalo. And here's the problem for New England this game. Their run offense isn't very good, and that's how you beat Buffalo. Is you just control the ball, you run the ball all over them. And the Patriots can't do that. And so, again, just like last week against Pittsburgh, entire point of this game for Josh Allen is not to turn the ball over. Last week I brought up all the numbers with Pittsburgh where they're the best team in the league at, or they're the second best team in the league at forcing turnovers, scoring off of turnovers, creating short fields for their offense. The best in the league at all those numbers is the New England Patriots. And so, like, as long as Buffalo doesn't turn this ball over, they have the better, rushing attack. They have a similar level of defense, and like that's just like the key to this game. I think is as long as they don't turn the ball over, I think they can win this game.
Really?
Yeah.
Like that's what you're really saying right now.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
New England's crap. New England's awful. I don't know what the hell you're even talking about. 6.5 points favorites. I wish I wasn't a little bit sarcastic of saying bet $1,000, but we can bet $10,000. New England looked awful against Cincinnati. This offense is so gross to watch that if their defense doesn't have turnovers,
yeah,
then they are screwed. Their offense can't put up anything.
How many turnovers do you think Allen has this game?
One.
How's he going to do it?
Fumble or tipped pass, I will give you.
I think tipped pass. That one threw against Pittsburgh was off Cole Beasley's little fingers.
The only thing is, I mean, have you heard, like, Edelman's banged up and all that?
Yeah.
And finally, just like you said, Michelle Burkhead finally got a breakthrough. James White played a decent game. It's just watching New England's offense is so gross. And Tom has no time in the pocket. There's just nothing that works for this offense. They almost lost to Cincinnati. they almost lost. As whatever the score could say, whatever. They played so horrible. It was just disgusting. And that
Gilmore had pick six, though. Changed that game around.
Yeah, but even when it comes to special teams, like everything just happened. Because special teams got a turnover on a punt. It just, everything worked that didn't have anything to do with the offense.
Yeah, I mean, they're like the 2015 Broncos, where they have an all-time great defense right now, and then it's like, can Brady make three throws? And so far, he hasn't even made one throw really at all.
And I would say it looks a lot like Chicago last year as well, where Brady does look like a Mitch Trubisky, sadly enough, where it's just throwing to my little running back, hoping he can get some yards, and then trying to hit. Because
Cullen was their best receiver, and Wise pretty much their best receiver this year, whenever Edelman's hurt like he is.
And N'Keal Harry's finally showing up, so you have that at least.
No, it's N'Keal. N'Keal? Yeah, it's not Keneal.
Oh, no, I said N'Keal.
Yeah.
I said N'Keal.
No, I'm just saying it for myself, because I always call him Keneal. I keep saying that, so I know. I finally found out how to spell Buccaneer. B-U-C-C-A. N-E-E-R. It's two C's.
Is this real?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's two C's?
Yeah.
Of course it's two C's.
Maybe it's one C.
It's two C's. Buccaneer.
Yeah, it's two C's. I always thought it was one C. I don't know.
Okay. What is your problem? Either way, though, let's go back to this, because I'm just going to... I don't want to pick your boy here. I don't like your boy because against Pittsburgh, let's be honest with you, that was all Buffalo's defense. Josh Allen had nothing to do with that.
I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm saying the fact that all he had to do was not turn the ball over, and he didn't.
All I know is every single time I say something about Josh Allen or Jameis, you're jumping down my throat here. I don't like this. There's a lot of hostility coming from over there.
Yeah, it's been a little angry right now.
Yeah. Either way, it's because Josh Allen, he looks to run before he throws.
No, he doesn't.
So this is why
that's the problem, is you can't say that because it's not true. He sits in the pocket. All he did against Dallas was win from the pocket against them.
No, all he did was look like Lamar Jackson against Dallas, which is what Mitch Trubisky looked like against us too. No matter what happens. Hey, we're not talking about Dallas, man. Can we please jump back on the topic, which is going back to Josh Allen? He didn't do anything last game. I'm glad that you're impressed by him.
He threw one deep pass to John Brown. That was important. He threw a touchdown pass to Croft.
This is what we're
doing. That was important. He had a rushing touchdown. That was important.
That's what we're doing.
And he had one turnover. That was important. So he did and he broke multiple sacks. He tried stiff arm Cam Hayward, which is hilarious. It didn't work, but he picked up 6 yards. He did everything he needed to do to win that game. He didn't do nothing.
No.
He did six very important things.
He did everything he needed to do not to screw up that game. Because otherwise, it was the defense that did everything. All I know is, come on. I'm excited for this game just to see if Buffalo can get over that hump finally. Because I agree with you. That last time, if Josh Allen wouldn't have gone out, then New England would have lost the game. And this is kind of what I'm excited for, because was Singletary playing a lot back then?
No, that was
the
other thing I wanted to bring up, too. Now, with Frank Gore out of the starting lineup, and Singletary is, and their run offense is a lot better. And it's dynamic. They can actually pick up 15, 20 yards. Like last week, they had 130 yards rushing against Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has a top three run defense. And
New England struggles.
Singletary had some, I think Singletary even fumbled twice that game, too. And they keep him in the game, too. They don't bench him. They allow him to stay out there. And he had big runs of 15 plus yards against him as well. And the Patriots have a great run defense, but there's a actual potential to break something with Singletary out there compared to Frank Gore.
And that's where I'm kind of excited for as well, because the one thing New England has been able to stop is the run. Joe Mixon ran all over this team. It's pretty disgusting watching New England all around.
They have a good run defense.
Yeah, but Mixon ran. What are you talking?
They have a good run defense.
We've been through this.
They have a good one.
What has been the one thing that can can get a hold, get yards on this defense? It has been the running back with each of the teams. We've been through all this before.
New England has a good run defense.
With Baltimore, with Chubb, even with Dallas. It's even with just last game with Mixon. It's just been a common thing. I'm sorry that I can bring up something that you can't. But it's actually been something I've been saying to you this entire time.
Yeah, I still think it's okay.
It's not that good.
I think it's good.
It's okay. It's like a bend it, don't break.
If the tail is this. Like, I'm like here, and you're like here. I think it's good. You think it's not good.
It's because I'm like a nub, and you're like a long tail.
No, like, it's a normal distribution.
I don't know what we're doing with the tail thing.
But yeah, I mean, that's an important part of this game, though, too, that Singletary is playing instead. You know their splits for yards a carry?
Go ahead.
So, Frank Gore was averaging 3.6 yards a carry. Singletary's at 5.4 yards a carry. And Singletary has about 206 more yards, not 206 more yards. He has 156 more yards rushing on 24 less carries. So he's much more efficient. He's a better running back than Gore is.
No, it sounds like Frank Gore should be put back in the game.
He shouldn't be a Hall of Famer either.
You are, and by the way, I agree. I would say that you're overreacting about that, but man.
He didn't get hurt.
What are we talking about? We're talking about longevity now. Yeah. We're not talking about anything. We're talking about longevity.
Yeah,
is it stats if it's longevity?
Hall of longevity?
Exactly.
Get out of here.
God. Yeah, New England's just uninjured.
New England's injuries, like you mentioned. Jones is out for New England. Questionable is Juwan Bentley, Jamie Collins, Julian Edelman. One of the McCourty brothers. I think it's Devin. And Buffalo doesn't have any injuries. Ty Nishecki is out, but he's like their third. He's their third offensive tackle. So if Cody Ford's getting beat a lot on the outside, they put him in to help pass block. And before, it's been a really good run blocker, though, at the right tackle position. So it should be fun, though. This is two of the five best defenses out there. The Patriots have like an all-time great pass defense at the moment, but they can't run the ball very well, and that's how you beat Buffalo. And so I'm going Buffalo 20, New England 16.
I have Buffalo 25. I have New England 22.
That's a lot of points. Who's scoring these points?
It's more like I actually think Buffalo's going to be able to put up that many points with their defense getting turnovers, and then New England's going to have to play catch up.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be I don't like New England. I really don't like them. And as much as you go, oh, it's New England, just wait, this. It's not happening at all. And you could put me on record for this. I don't care. But Houston or Tennessee, like what I was telling you earlier, maybe I didn't say it on the show, but well, that showed me for last game how much fun both teams were, that both teams are just so much better than New England.
Mm-hmm.
They just look so much better than that team.
I think if they had Gronkowski still, they could do that 2015 Denver thing.
You could do something
but
else,
without,
I agree.
But without Gronk, like Brady doesn't have somebody he can make those three throws to.
If he had Kittle, okay, then yeah.
Yeah, I don't like this idea that Kittle's better than Gronk. He's not. It's not even close either.
Okay. Yes. I'm going to say yes, Kittle is only
not
on the field. I can rely on Kittle, it seems, already more than I could on Gronk. All-around player, you got it. You get Gronk, talent-wise, everything, just better when he's on the field.
Including injuries, but like on the field, yeah, Gronk's 100%. Yeah. He's so much better.
Yeah, on the
it's
field,
just a
yeah.
stupid pro football focus thing that came out. Like, Kittle's actually the best tight end because our grades say he's 93.7.
What?
And yeah, it's stupid.
Okay. Well, we're not.
It's dumb. So the Sunday night game, we have San Francisco, or Los Angeles going to San Francisco. The 49ers are 6.5-point favorites. So these two teams play once earlier in the year, I believe is week 5. Los Angeles on third and fourth down, they went 0-13. And Jared Goff was just like a stain across the field. Their pass rush was overwhelming. He just like closed his eyes and threw the ball downfield. Like everything you say about Jameis throwing the ball downfield, his eyes closed, that's Goff. But the difference is that Winston actually isn't a coward and stays strong in the pocket and can make some things happen. I like Goff.
But I don't like Jared Goff.
Yeah, I'm just saying like, the worst version of Winston, I think, can be Goff at sometimes. where like he doesn't think about anything. He doesn't look. He just heaves stuff up and nothing really happens at all. So one of the numbers I want to look at in this game is like, is with Jared Goff throwing the ball a lot. So in losses, he averages 45 attempts a game. In wins, he averages 33.125 attempts a game. In losses, these are his passing attempts. 68, 49, 24, 41, 37, 51. The best was against Chicago. He threw 18 passes in that like 10-point win that they had. So it's like they win in spite of him. They're going to pay him $36 million next year. They don't have a first-round pick until, I think, 2021. They're all in on this team and this stadium. And, like, you know, they're two games above 500. They were able to flip things around against a bad team some, but it's still like a – they're in, like, a disastrous situation at the moment.
Okay. I have a really interesting theory here, and I mentioned it last week. I don't know if you picked up on it. What's with Brandon Cooks?
I mean, he has concussions.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Because he's had, like, six.
He is – not okay. And that's the one contract where it's like they don't use him. They don't do anything with him. Even when he's on the field, he gets hit and then he's done for the game.
Mm-hmm.
He is the one where I kind of feel bad for because Goff's barely even looking his way. And the only thing Goff is and the entire Rams offense is wanting to do is, oh, let's go to Higgins. Hey, Higgins. It's Higby. Higgins.
It's Higby.
Oh, is it Higby? Yeah. Sorry. Higby.
And Woods
hey,
is
you
back.
Got a screen pass?
Woods is good.
Higby.
I like Robert Woods a lot.
That's all it is. I like Robert Woods. I like Cooper Kupp a lot, too. Oh, yeah.
Kupp is great, too.
I don't know what it is, but they look terrible against Dallas. And it was easily just...
That interception he threw to Jalen Smith and Sean Lee at the same time was one of the worst throws I've ever seen. Like, at the end of the half, you're down by 10 points, and to make that attempt, I mean, it was worse than anything Jameis has done this year.
And I also, whenever you go for it on fourth down and you don't pick up the fourth down, you're essentially done, especially when that team is just able to drive down the field and just score. It just hurts these teams whenever they're not just going for the points just to get a little momentum going. It's, I don't know.
You're trying to win the game.
I got you, but what do you think of that overall? Yeah. Where it's just being able to put points up on the game versus you going for it on a fourth and three, fourth and four, and not picking it up.
I mean, I think it really depends on your kicker, one. It depends on the score and who you're playing against. And then also, if you're like, it's better to go for it on fourth and two than kick a 56-yard field goal.
I guess. I would rather go for it, especially if you're the Rams and you honestly have a great kicker. But, oh well. Either way, Los Angeles Rams have not been looking good as far as last game and as far as the weeks prior to, what, 2 weeks ago? When was their win streak? Three?
No, they were like, they were kind of sandwiched. They lost to Pittsburgh where they scored 7 points. They beat Seattle was the thing.
So what was their winning stretch that they were going into? Because I thought it was two games and then it was Dallas that they played against.
Well, they beat Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I think they...
Was it Chicago or somebody?
Yeah, they beat Chicago then Seattle.
Okay. Yeah, it was either way, they were going in on a win streak where everybody thought they turned the corner, which I even told you last week. It was just running a whole bunch of screens, getting Todd Gurley the ball. But the moment Todd Gurley wasn't able to break any type of runs, because what, do you have 20 yards against Dallas? It just, this is what the Rams have looked like.
Whenever you're down, you throw the ball a bunch.
I get. But
so they beat Chicago. They got their teeth kicked in by Baltimore. They beat Arizona. They beat Seattle. Then lost to Dallas.
Because they still had two drives when it was 0-0.
Yeah, I mean, they just got beat.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. It's just this has kind of been the team all year, and it was only the past few weeks where people thought differently.
Yeah, where they actually gave the ball to Gurley and let him do things. Well, and like their interior offensive line's all screwed up. Like we've talked about on here, and I've wrote about a lot this year, is that they replaced their entire interior, and then after week 12, they replaced the replacements. And like some of those guys have worked. They have right tackle from Oklahoma, who's been pretty good. I still don't like the Andrews guy that much. Austin Corbett kind of sucks, but Brian Andrews is like their starting center who's like 6'1", 275 pounds. It was kind of fun to watch. But their run offense, so last year they averaged 4.9 yards a carry, which was third. They were first in DVOA at 21.3%. This is an all-time great rushing offense. This year they're averaging 3.8 yards a carry, which is 25th. Their rush offense DVOA is negative 7.3%, which is 21st. And offense is more stable than defenses, but it's been like an entire calamity for their run offense this year. And they needed Goff to be able to win from the pocket, be more of a spread out vertical quarterback, and he hasn't been able to do it all whatsoever. Or like he's like he's said the Garoppolo thing where it's like, yeah, can he make three throws? But they've needed him to do more than that, and he hasn't been able to do that. And he hasn't even been able to do the make three throws part of it.
So I had three teams where it was interesting because I felt like they were trying to turn their quarterbacks into something that they weren't. And they've all three struggled this year where they shouldn't. It's Dallas, Los Angeles, Chicago.
Why do you say Dallas?
I say Dallas because you're turning Dak more into a passer than you being able to focus on the run.
Yeah, but I think you should. He's been spectacular this year.
What is my record?
Yeah, but I mean, like,
we're not talking Dallas yet. We'll get into that. But
and then even the Trubisky thing, like, they're just
they went away from the Tariq Cohen passes, though. Is my point where they went against your whole game strategy that won you the game.
Teams catch on that sort of thing, though.
What are you talking about? They won the past couple of weeks because they went back to that.
I don't know. I think
same thing with the Rams, where you and I spoke, where all of a sudden they went back to last year and then they started winning those games. It's these teams went into this season changing their entire offenses where all three teams were supposedly going to get better and take the next step.
I mean, I think the bigger problem with the Cohen thing was that they tried to turn him into a running back, not that they stopped throwing the ball so much. His teams catch up on that.
Yeah, but they went throwing.
They were doing a better job. And yeah, but like his passing numbers, even on a per-play basis, weren't very good this year. Cohen's been worse this year as a receiver than he was last year.
They ain't throwing the ball, though, as much.
I know, but I'm saying, you know, on a per-play basis, it's not as good. It's not nearly as good. And then I think the bigger problem that Chicago had, though, is they run so many stupid plays where it's like it's fourth and one, and they're trying to run an option to the short side of the field. And then the second thing is that they try to put him more in the pocket than he should be and not let Trubisky throw more in the open field and get him out in space and use him more as a runner. But the Cohen thing, I don't think, is as big of a deal.
Either way, I just felt like my point was just the changing of the styles.
And I guess the Rams thing, though, is they tried that against Carolina. It didn't work. They went to the run, and then
they
worked.
They tried to turn the Goff into, like, something else.
Yeah, and they stopped immediately.
Yes.
And they ended up being Carolina. But then their entire interior got hurt, and it wasn't that good to begin with. And Gurley was hurt. And I don't even know what was up with Gurley. If he was hurt, they were saving him for the postseason. Who knows what happened there exactly, but it didn't work out, and their entire team's a mess. What's funny about them, though, is like their run defense was great, and they played Dallas, and Dallas' offensive line just absolutely obliterated them.
Which makes no sense to me still.
Yeah, and like looking at the numbers, it was like, well, Aaron Donald's most double-team defensive tackle in the league. He leads the league in tackles for a loss. I think he had two against Dallas. And Michael Brockers had like 63 run tackles, so he's just winning one-versus-one blocks. And he wasn't doing anything at all on the backside. They were abusing their nose guard as well. And then they were starting this guy like Reader from the University of Delaware as a rookie. And he was awful. Like they were just completely like just killing him the second level, and he couldn't make any tackles at all either. So yeah. Like I picked Los Angeles last week because Dallas had me by over 500. I was like, let's see him do it. And they did it. And that was good for them. But anything else in this game you want to talk about?
No, because we already went on about how Jimmy G's overrated at the beginning, too.
I mean, I think he's about the same we're talking about all year.
No, you... No!
Like, there's no, like... Again, I'm not having this... I don't have this
no,
argument
No, I know,
again.
But I'll put it this way. He's Mitch Trubisky for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so.
Okay,
I think
if you agree with that, they're on the same page.
I think he's more accurate, though, than Trubisky is.
Okay, I'll give him
like,
that,
he's
like,
a better
step
version
step
of
above.
It. Like, he's a good game manager. And maybe if things break exactly perfectly, he
so
can
you're going
be,
more than me now.
Yeah, I am a little bit more than I am. More, I like Garoppolo more than you do. I'm not saying he's great.
Like you're
I'm
fine, you and I agree,
really
and then you go a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm slightly. I like Garoppolo a little bit more than you do.
I think the coach is more of a genius.
Yeah,
I think
for sure.
It kind of overshadows how bad the QB is.
For sure. Yeah, it'd be cool if they could get like Cam Newton or something there. Or Andy Dalton there.
They would never do that to Jimmy at this point.
I mean, they can get out of his contract after the season.
You don't. They're not.
They
don't
could.
Even. Especially with how the team is. People probably love Jimmy G. They probably all use Head and Shoulders together.
That's gross. Yeah, there's a lot of dandruff in NorCal. NorCal is a vile.
Yeah, gross.
Place. San Francisco is the worst city in the country, too.
Yeah, I agree.
So I have San Francisco
24-16. Ooh. So I actually have San Francisco 30. I have L.A. 18. I'm a pretty big blowout here. I just don't think the Rams are going to be playing for anything. That's the problem.
Well, they are.
How?
Well, if they win out and the Vikings lose out, they make the postseason.
What are the Vikings? What's their last game?
The Vikings are playing the Packers on the road. Mm-hmm. Then they play Chicago. Chicago's the same team who beat them last year, knocked them out of the playoffs. And I was like, it's going to happen in week 17. And like, it could still happen. Maybe not.
I don't
you
know.
You see Cousins, they score like 30 plus points against the Chargers. He threw, I think, 17 passes.
That's what their dream was. It's like the first game of the season where he threw 9 passes and they won.
It makes me so sick.
That's why you pay him that much money, right?
There's all this stuff too. It's like Cousins should be like a number 5 on my MVP ballot. It's like, no, he doesn't do anything. Yeah, just wait until the postseason though.
What do you mean he should be number 5 on an MVP
I'm just saying,
ballot?
These are things
who said this?
These are things I've read from professional football writers.
You need to send them a tweet. Say, get off the bottle.
Yeah. Just wait. We'll wait. It's going to be fine.
Wait, can you please just send that to one of them? Hey, get off the bottle. I'm concerned.
Do your job. Get off the bottle. But it's going to all fall apart, and it's going to be fun whenever that happens for him.
I believe in Cousins more. I like Cousins.
He's like Schaub.
No.
Yeah, but he's
better than Schaub.
He's not. He's more mobile than Schaub.
Who would you rather take, Jimmy G or Kirk Cousins? Ooh.
I don't know.
I like this one.
No, I hate it.
Why? It's easy.
I would say Cousins because at least he can throw the ball downfield, play action.
Cool.
All right. So the last game we have here is your game. And
this isn't my game.
We got 10 minutes to talk about it.
I don't want to talk about it.
Dallas at Philly. Dallas is 1.5-point favorites. And your Dallas Cowboys finally beat a team over 500. They ran the ball all over the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, not the Philadelphia Eagles, the Los Angeles Rams. One of the things I thought was very interesting about that game was Dallas's offensive line completely obliterated and won. But the second thing was that Pollard had more yards than Elliott on half the amount of carries.
Weird.
And he's so fast. He breaks so many tackles.
Mm-hmm.
He's unbelievable. And so maybe Dallas kind of finally realized, like, well, one, I think their offensive line is healthy finally. I think that's one part of it. And the second part of it, I think Xavier Sufio is better than Connor Williams. And the third part, that's like, it should be a 2-to-1 ratio. Like, for every 2 carries Elliott gets, Pollard should get 1.
Pollard's been in and out because our offensive coordinator is 13 years old and doesn't know what to do sometimes.
He hasn't. This is the most carries he's had since week 3 against Miami. Like, if his
he's
carries
also
are
been
like
hurt, though.
4, 6, 2.
He's
1.
Been hurt. He's been in and out with games. So I will give them that.
All right.
The problem is the main difference that I hated and enjoyed. By the way, I hated to watch this game because this is the exact team that I expected to see all season. Obviously, they just let me down all year because even this big win, oh my God, look at them. They beat a winning team. If they lose to Philly, then who gives a damn?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Like, it means
unless
absolutely nothing.
Philly loses to the Washington Redskins week 17.
And by the way, it's like when
wouldn't
I
that be hilarious? Dallas wins the division because Philadelphia loses week 17 anyways.
Oh, that'd be awesome, actually. I would laugh so hard. And it would be something that's extremely possible. But that's why with this game, I'm really going to be talking out of both sides of my ass here because I have...
How do you have two sides to it?
Dude,
like,
I want...
cheek? You're
just
talking
I just
it?
Want you to think about it and then go from there. But all I know is... I don't know. I hate this team. I want this team to win. I want to be able to make the playoffs. Dak Prescott's hurt with that shoulder throwing
arm.
Thank
God.
Yeah, he's actually hurt. He hasn't been throwing all week. So I don't like this. The Zeke Elliott thing was nice because what he was doing for the first time was not really the breakaway speed, which is what I was looking for. He was zigzaggy.
He broke some tackles.
Why was he zigzaggy? I haven't seen him go in and out like that all season.
Part of they ran a lot outside zone. Which you have more cutbacking opportunities in that run scheme. But he broke some actual tackles, though.
All I know is I love everything about this. Oh, and you know what's great is that Jason Witten finally didn't eat popcorn before the football game. And he can make a spectacular catch over the shoulder. That doesn't make any sense. But don't you dare throw him when it's right in his hands wide open. Because he'll drop the crap out of it. I hate this team so much. I finally have a kicker. He made some field goals. I enjoyed it.
Who's the kicker now?
It's
Kai Forbath.
Yeah, Forbath. That's what it is.
New England cut him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care. If you make a field goal, you make a field goal. At least you can make a 35-yarder.
Let's not talk about kickers.
Okay. Let's talk about Philly. So, in reality...
Wait, who do you think hates their team more, Dallas fans or Philly fans? It has to be Dallas fans because they won a Super Bowl. But Philly's people, they're insane. They're all mentally ill.
So that's the problem with Philly fans is that at least out of all the Cowboys fans, I'm going to brag about myself, I look at myself as a realist more than any of the others. I haven't met a realist Philly fan where the Philly fan, no matter what, believes that his team's going to win the Super Bowl. No matter what, their team is great each and every single week versus me, my team's a piece of crap. And this is why it's conflicting, because if we beat Philly, we make the playoffs, we win the division. Jerry in the back of the mind, see, it wasn't a big deal. The season was a tough battle, but guess what? We pulled it off. We beat a winning team, and we won the division. That's all we needed to do, blah, blah, blah. My coach still has his job.
And then you play San Francisco in the first round.
I'll actually still like that. I think I have a good shot because it's at home field. Suckers. But whenever it comes to my coach, if we were to then go to the playoffs, we were to then win that game, Jerry in the back of the mind, see, I knew this would turn around. I knew we would get this eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I hate this team.
So you rather them lose and fire Garrett?
I'm conflicting.
Than win.
Like I said, I want them to win. I want them to make the playoffs. I know that we would beat San Fran. I'm talking out of both sides of my ass, Matt. I don't make any sense this time.
So you want to hear something funny about Dallas? So their point differential is plus 50. They have a point differential of a 9.2 to 4.8 win team. They're 7-7, and then they're second in offensive DVOA. And their defensive numbers are like 23rd, 24th, or whatever. And that's largely because they have terrible safeties. And their cornerbacks aren't good enough to like be able to play well without good safety play.
I agree.
And it's like, yeah, they should be a lot better than a 7-1 team. And it's like, it's weird because the Cowboys should have won the division, but the Eagles should have already lost the division by now. And watching like the Eagles the last 2 weeks were, that Giants first half, that Giants game was one of the worst games I've ever watched in my entire life.
I had to sit through. I watched the whole thing only because of fantasy football,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
It hurts so bad. And by the way, the Washington game.
Was at least fun, though.
No. You know what was funny about it? So Philly was like 11 for 16 on third down, and they had the ball for 37 minutes, and they still needed a game-winning drive to beat Washington.
Well, because they missed that tackle on the slant route. And then like Haskins
so
kept running the option play that worked out twice really well. And then also, Wentz lost the fumble. So Wentz is tied for second with most fumbles this year, 14. He's lost 7. He's recovered 7. He's recovered the most fumbles in the NFL this year.
Didn't he have 3 last game?
I think he had 2.
And he lost 1 or something?
I think he had 2 and he lost 1. But okay. He fumbles a bunch. Really the key. So which Philadelphia wide receiver are you most afraid of? Miles Sanders? Boston Scott?
Nope.
Greg Ward? Dallas Goedert?
Nope.
Arcega Whiteside.
No, neither. Where's the quarterback?
The quarterback?
The quarterback that they have, that's the receiver.
That's Ward.
Is that Ward?
U of H, yeah.
Okay, that's who I'm going. Yeah, U of H. Okay, that's what I'm going with.
I kind of like Boston Scott because he doesn't seem like a real person.
No, I would say Ward only because it's like the exact same thing with the Julian Edelman. It's just a tiny quarterback that became receiver. Here he goes. He's going to get open for at least a touchdown. Thing is, Matt, I really, even talking about their offense is gross.
Yeah, it's just like
Dallas
flat.
Should
it's
destroy this team, and that's what I hate. But the defense for Philly is going to sell out because they know Dak's hurt. They're going to sell out.
They have been blitzing more.
Schwartz
lately.
Is going to be such a douchebag. It's going to be an ugly one.
If Dak can throw a ball downfield, they'll win.
I don't know if he can, though. He hasn't thrown all
week. The injury thing's weird. But,
he
I mean, like Dallas just beat a good Los Angeles front last weekend.
Means nothing to me.
I mean, they like their offensive line won a game, whereas Philly has like the talent of an offensive line that should do that, but they haven't done that. And they're also just kind of, they're just weird. They're such a weird team. I think also the really important thing about this game is Dallas is 29th in DVOA covering tight ends. They allow 8.2 pass attempts a game, 63.7 yards a game. Ertz the last 2 weeks, 14 of 23, 152 yards, 3 touchdowns. Their loss against Miami, he was 3 of 6, 24 yards, 8 yards an attempt. And I think that's kind of like the key to this game for Philadelphia's offense, where it's like if Ertz is good, if he has like, you know, 6 first downs, if he catches a touchdown or two, it completely changes like their entire offense. And they actually can score 27 points or whatever the lines are for it. But yeah, this game is brutal. It's stupid. I have no idea at all. I really have no clue. It doesn't make any sense. And
I have no idea.
I think if Dak
it should
was,
be easy, though.
If Dak, yeah, it should
it
be.
It should be easy. They this is what I hate. This is stupid.
They should win by like 10
this
points.
This is so dumb. This should be the easiest thing on planet Earth.
Dallas should be like a 10-win team easily this year.
I just don't want.
And they're not going to be.
That's why I hate this team. That's why last week means nothing to me. I hate this team, dude.
It's also going to be a lot of fun to watch this like offensive line against this defensive line, too. I can't wait for that portion of this game.
For which, offensive line, defensive?
No, whenever Dallas has the ball.
Okay, so our offensive line. Yeah,
and Jernigan's back.
It'll be
too.
The game that they don't show up with. So who cares?
Nah, I'm
this is what happens. This is what I hate. Because the they haven't done it in back to back.
The offensive line shows up.
You want me to do it in back to back games? You want my team to be able to show up?
I'm talking about the offensive line.
What you are telling me, Matt, is a dream of mine. Where they are going to go on a magic carpet ride now, and they have caught fire at the exact time. That's what you're wanting me to believe. I can't do that.
I don't know if I want you to believe anything.
You never want me to believe in magic.
No.
And a young girl's
heart. I knew you were going to do that. I'm mad that you did that.
Why?
All right. So what's your pick for this game?
Last time, every single time I like pick against Dallas, they win. I don't know what to do. All right. So Dallas, 35. Philly, 31.
So you think Dak's healthy then?
No. I actually think just the running game is going to be able to tear it up.
Philadelphia has a good run defense, though.
Yeah, I know, but their defense hasn't shown up at all with anything.
Yeah,
so
it's just
I
like their secondary. And it's
they
weird. It's kind of like
anything.
Their secondary last year, they all got hurt and the young guys played well. And this year, they all play bad.
They all play bad.
And then it's like, their wide receivers got hurt.
But their offense has an excuse. Their defense is the one letting Washington
score
the points.
Well, yeah, and that safety missed that slant route tackle. But then this year, it's like all their wide receivers got hurt and the young guys stepped up and they played all right. It's not awful.
No, it's not.
I say Ian Whiteside makes some catches.
But that's what I mean. The
Ward's
defense,
all right.
Defense is the terrible side.
Yeah. Their secondary is awful, and it shouldn't be this bad.
It shouldn't be this bad.
And there's also just so many blown coverage issues. Like that touchdown to Slayton where he's in double coverage, and they both let him run right through him. It's like, wait, I'm short hook zone.
Wait.
You weren't supposed to stay?
I was staying? Yeah. You were staying? That was... It's so awful.
Good for Eli.
You got a game ball last week,
I have
dude.
Dallas 27, Philadelphia 23.
I don't like you picking them.
Yeah. I don't like picking them either.
Dude, pick Philly.
I thought about flipping a coin, but I'm not going to.
Pick Philly.
No, I mean, Dallas is better, but that's...
No, pick Philly.
Game. I'm just going to pick the better team, but it's any given Sunday, Taylor. So, recap, I have Houston 31, Tampa Bay 27. You have Tampa Bay 23, Houston 20.
It was a monsoon. You're the one who convinced me for the low scoring.
You're picking Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I'm picking Tampa. Wait, no. I didn't pick Tampa. I picked Houston.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess you're picking Houston. Even though it's three, you're taking Houston.
Yeah,
right
if
now
it's
you
a coin
push,
flip.
But
okay, then put Houston 23.5. Put Tampa 20.
That works out. I really hope it doesn't rain there tomorrow.
Me too.
It should rain Texas instead.
Yeah.
It shouldn't rain there. Buffalo at New England. The Patriots are 6.5-point favorites. I have Buffalo 20, New England 16. You have Buffalo 25, New England 22.
Yep.
Los Angeles at San Francisco Saturday night. I have San Francisco 24, Los Angeles 16. You have San Francisco 30, Los Angeles 18. And then Dallas at Philly. Dallas won the last four matchups, too.
I don't care.
That one was that game you went to, right? That week 17.
Oh,
Nick Foles,
dude, greatest.
Benched.
7-0, baby. Final cold. Score. Yeah. The Philly fans were laughing at us as we went to the game because it felt like below 15.
I have Dallas 27, Philly 23. You have Dallas 35, Philly 31. It should be fun, at least.
Yeah, great times.
So we get to watch that. We get to watch New Orleans, Tennessee. It's going to be a good football weekend.
It's going to be a good football weekend. I'm just glad they start on Saturday. So you got to make sure that whenever you're listening to this podcast in the morning, you immediately grab the person's phone that's sitting next to you for Christmas and you give it 5 stars.
Important.
You got to download. 5 stars.
To. We should start saying this at the beginning. Whenever you're getting by on Jameis's boathouse,
take
that aux cord, put the podcast on.
Nobody wants
on.
To go in that dirty boat.
It's not dirty. We keep it clean on the boat.
No, you don't. You have crab legs everywhere.
Nah.
Probably get crabs. You see what I mean?
Yeah,
double entendre.
That we
is that what that means?
That we purchased.
Is that what double entendre means?
And then the fall harvest was really good this year up at the farmhouse.
What? Fall harvest?
Yeah, Josh Allen's farmhouse.
Is that a...
Where I'm the gatekeeper.
Is that a... What do you do there?
That's upstate New York. It's very nice. It's in the Adirondacks. So that's our show
like
for tonight.
From the 1800s.
That's our show for tonight.
You're
it's
racist.
The lighthouse, which is just me and Josh.
Well, okay, there it is. You know what? I'll take that.
He's like, come on, please stop.
So obviously you're William Dafoe.
That's fine.
And he's Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay,
like
that's
it.
Good.
So that's our show for tonight. Like Taylor said, like, subscribe, download, 5 stars. Give it a kiss. Good night tonight. Listen to it in the morning. Listen to it sometime tomorrow, whatever you want to do.
And leave us questions, damn it.
It's hard. The internet's quiet Friday nights this time of year.
Matt
but
will learn how to read where you apologize.
In the meantime, I'm Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Bell Red Radio. And thank you for being on tonight, Taylor.
Josh Allen looks to run before throws.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.